Pastor Mike, a very good friend of mine, that we serve together, we serve God together, and we're excited how we see God move amongst us, not just at the mission, but you know, all the churches. And I think God's doing something on Long Island. I really do. I honestly believe God's pouring out his spirit on the island, and different things are happening. And I want to encourage you today. I'm here to bring, hopefully bring something to shake us a little bit and get us motivated in Christ and see what God has in your life. I want to thank my wife for being here. My wife, Carla, has joined me today to be here. Church of the Nazarene, praise God. You know, I didn't know whether to wear a tie or not. Usually at the mission, we don't get that dressed up. You know, we're usually out on the streets, or I'm working in the warehouse sometimes. Director of the warehouse. I'm always in the warehouse, and I'm really always not that dressed. And I said, you know what? Maybe I'll get dressed. But I always do the opposite of, you know, most people don't have ties on, so I usually wear a tie. When I don't wear a tie, of course, everybody has a tie on. You know, I just never get it right. So I figure I could always take it off if I have to, but I'm going to leave it on. Praise the Lord. And just to be, let me get my glasses here. I can't see anything. Gee, I'm getting old. What do I do with my glasses? Here they are. Praise God. Thank God, you know, we get older, but hopefully the inward man is being renewed every day in Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I just enjoy that worship. I'm desperate for you. My goodness, what a powerful song in my life personally. Been serving the Lord since the early 80s. Have some old battle stories and some things that I love to share, testimonies. My wife's tired of hearing the same testimonies, and thank God you guys haven't heard them yet. So maybe you'll get it more excited than she does today, but praise the Lord. But we have been serving the Lord. We've experienced quite a number of things. I've been with the mission about 6 years now, and we're missionaries right up my alley. Praise the Lord. I have the privilege of traveling around the world and sharing in many countries and just being a part of what God's doing. So it's just exciting to be here today. Glory to God. I just want to thank God today. Let's pray and again, let's ask God just have his way today. I have enough here to preach for like 3 days, but you know, I just want to see what God has for us. Father, we just thank you for your presence here today. Lord, we thank you that your blessing is upon us. Lord, we're children of God. We have the living God living within us today, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And there's just such a richness and a treasure in each and every one of the vessels of God that you've chosen and blessed. God, we thank you today. And I just thank you for the worship and just the people of God here today, the brethren, that we may dwell together in unity and just be excited to what you're doing, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, many years we've been involved in so many different ministries, evangelism, street ministries. I can go on and on. Praise God. I pastored for about 20 years. I came out of a large church. I was assistant pastor. Then I survived being a pastor for 7 years of my own fellowship, which was such a learning experience for me. We belong to so many different ministries, some of prayer. I can remember, as I can share a little bit just from my past experiences of what God has shown me through prayer. I believe there is a ministry of prayer for each one of us. We're called to pray. Jesus said, everyone is called to pray. Men ought always to pray and never to faint. That's the word of the Lord. So we're called to pray. And then the amazing thing that amazes me all the time is how the disciples asked Jesus, after being with him, watching the master pray, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, God was amongst them, walked with them, prayed in front of them. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. I find that interesting. You know, you think they would have learned how to pray being with Jesus through so many different times and seeing him go off into the wilderness and pray, or up on the mountaintop, and they ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, I ask God, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray the right way. I know we can come to God boldly through the throne of grace, and we approach him unashamed through the blood of his covenant, through Jesus, our Savior. We can pray. We know how to pray, but I'm going to challenge you today. I believe that God has us to pray different ways for different circumstances. Amen? It's not some set prayer or some thing like that, but just sharing some of the things. We've always had the privilege of being involved in prayer ministries. Always seemed like we were gravitated back to prayer or a prophetic type of a ministry. I think sometimes those two go together, prayer and prophetic things, and how God shows us things through prayer. I just think those two things go together. But we always seem to gravitate towards intercession and prayer in our ministry and evangelism. And let me tell you what's interesting. And I believe that when God first saves you, he shows you exactly what you're going to be, but you don't listen. You know, you're out there and you're doing other things. Now, you listen, but you don't realize that at first he plants that in you. He puts that DNA in you, what you're going to do for him. And then there's a journey involved, and you go through all these experiences. And I know God in the beginning called me to be an evangelist. And I mean, we had a street ministry for 13 years. In every church we were in, we were involved in street ministries and evangelism. And lo and behold, I became a pastor, and he allowed me to experience that. But then recently, not too long ago, he put me right back to being focusing on being an evangelist. And I had to give up my church, God's church. I had to step down. That was the hardest thing for me to do. But sometimes God leads you in different directions. And so we were privileged to be a part of prayer ministry. God led us to New York City to be involved. I want to tell you today that prayer is the most powerful thing in the universe. It really is. He led us to New York City and got us involved in a ministry called the Lord's Watch. I don't know if any of you remember that. That was back in the 90s, mid-90s to around 2000. We were praying for New York City. We had 120 churches praying together in unison for God to change New York City. I remember New York City when I was a kid. It was not a pleasant place to go. Amen. They had all kinds of adult entertainment. There was crime. There was all kinds of things when I was a kid. And to go into the city, it was like, you know, you were a little nervous to go amen. Everybody remember that? New York was not that pleasant. But lo and behold, from 1995 to the year 2000, we had 120 churches praying in unison specifically for New York City, coming against the powers of darkness, believing God for a revival, for a change. And you know, within that short span of time, crime rate dropped 40% in New York City. And now, of course, people are going to say it was the mayor and all that, but it became the safest city in the United States. For those that have over 1 million people, those cities, it became the safest, New York City. And even today, if you go into this city, it's a pretty safe place to go with your family and things. Things have changed. How many believe prayer can change things? Amen? Can I get an amen on that? Praise God. And then we were involved in Times Square Church at what was called Prayer in the Square, and they actually put it upon Mayor Bloomberg's heart to close down Times Square and to allow thousands and thousands of Christians just to praise God and pray in that square. And God moved mine. Imagine the mayor. Mayor Bloomberg was very cooperative with the Christian churches back. Maybe remember Mayor Bloomberg. He was a blessing. I mean, he wasn't a believer, but maybe he is now. I don't know. But he was so wonderful to allow us to do that in that time. Praise God. And as we progressed, we began to get involved in more prayer. And specifically for New York City, it was amazing how God led us to the city, to pray for the city. And 9/11, the tragedy of 9/11, back in 2001, when the Twin Towers came down, God began to show us that we were intercessors, that we had assignments to pray specific areas. And I can remember being at that site about a week and a half before those towers came down. And I was with another pastor, and it's a whole prophetic thing went on there. And it was an amazing time when God put it on my heart to go up to the Twin Towers and lay my hands on the Twin Towers and pray that God, please, God, have mercy on us. I don't know why, tears coming down my eyes, and I remember it so dearly, even in my heart right now. And I believe, I'm in the process of writing a book, and that's probably going to take about 10 years for me. But I'm recording all these things. That one of these things was that God had us specifically praying for the Twin Towers, that He would have mercy on that area. And let me tell you, prayer is powerful. I mean, we could have lost 20,000 people that day. There was a purpose for that, and I won't get into that. But God answers incredibly through prayer. Praise God. Now, my question today here to us, if God is sovereign, okay, does He really need us to pray? You know, I'll tell you, I believe in the sovereignty of God. I think God knows the end from the beginning. Amen? I mean, we got a sovereign God. I mean, the devil's not in control of this universe. God created it. It's His creation. But my question is, does God use human beings to fulfill His plan on this earth? Amen? That's a question that plagues a lot of believers, and rightly so. But if we didn't pray, would things happen anyway? That's another question. If God is sovereign, why does He need us to pray? Well, you know, prayer makes things happen. In Colossians 4:3, Paul the Apostle, He asks for prayer that God would open up a door that he may effectively share the word of God. He asks for prayer that God would open a door. Doesn't God want to save people anyway? Doesn't God want to share his gospel? But Paul specifically says, pray that God would open a door for me. So we see a responsibility there for us to pray. Another instance, Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord that he would send laborers. Doesn't the Lord of the harvest want people to hear the gospel? Doesn't he want people to get saved? Why would he ask us to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers? And there's all kinds of, ask for your daily bread, which we just sang about, right? Give us today our daily bread. If God has all things, seek ye the kingdom of God and all things. So we have a responsibility. There's the laws of sowing and reaping. Amen? That we sow, we reap what we sow. I always get that backwards. We sow what we reap. How many do that? You ever do that? We sow what we reap. No, we reap what we sow. That's a law. That's a spiritual law. If we don't ask believing, it says in James, doubting, we don't get what we ask for. So God is sovereign, but we still have a responsibility if we're bitter towards our wives while we're praying. I know that's never happened between Caller and I, but there are people where that does happen, where you get bitter towards your wife or your spouse, and you know, God says, don't even bother praying. Amazing. Sovereign God, doesn't he want to answer prayer? But this laws of sowing, reaping, and sowing. See, I did it again. I don't know. He tells us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Doesn't he say, 2 Corinthians 11, don't be ignorant. Don't ignore. Don't be stupid about the enemy out there. There's an enemy out there. God is sovereign. And of course, we know that God controls all things. And in Job, we read that the devil couldn't do anything to Job if God didn't permit that. Isn't that right? But still, Paul says, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't be ignorant of the end. You know, in another 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, we desired to come to you, but Satan hindered us. I'll tell you, Paul won most of the battles, but in this instance, he was hindered by the enemy. How could you get hindered by the enemy if God is sovereign? But it happens. You know what that means in the original Greek? It means he got the upper hand on me. He can't hurt us or destroy us without God's will, but he gets the upper hand on us. In other words, he distracts us or he diverts us to what God has us to do. So that calls us to be disciplined in prayer. That calls us to be watchful, alert. Doesn't it say be vigilant about your enemy? So we have responsibilities as believers. Praise God. I just want to say today, did you know that prayer is an offering to God? How many know that? A prayer is an offering to God. In the Old Testament, if you read about the Old Testament priests, they had a responsibility every morning to go into the temple or the tabernacle. They would prepare the bread, the shoe bread for the day. It had to be fresh bread. I love fresh bread. Had to be fresh every day, not stale bread. Had to be fresh bread, right? They had to light the candle every day. They had responsibilities. And in the midst of the candlestick and the bread, there was this little altar in front of the Holy of Holies, in front of the curtain, and it was called the altar of incense or prayer. And they would have to light that incense every day, and they would take the flame from the candlestick, the flame, and they would light that incense that it would burn. And the Bible says it was like a sweet fragrance to God. I'd like you to turn your Bibles, if you have them, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Praise and prayer are an offering to God. It's our responsibility as New Testament priesthood. We are called a priesthood to make an offering to God in this manner. And look what it says here. 1 Peter 1, verse 4. 1 Peter, by the way, is right before 2 Peter, in case you don't know that. All right. Verse 4, coming to him, who? Jesus. As a living stone, this is you and I, rejected indeed by men. Oh, that's wonderful. But chosen by God and precious. Oh, I like that. Verse 5, you also, as living stones, that's us, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. You see that? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Like that Old Testament priesthood, we are a New Testament priesthood, and we're called to do something every day to offer up a spiritual or spiritual sacrifices. And notice that's not just singular, it's plural. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, what are these spiritual sacrifices? What could they possibly be? Well, in Psalm 141:2, you don't have to turn it, it said, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." So just as the Old Testament priests would go into the tabernacle or the temple daily, we're to offer up our prayers as an offering up to God. Do you see that? And you know, if you look in Jeremiah 17, and we, for the sake of time, I'll just read it quickly. He says, "They shall come from cities of Judah, from the places around Jerusalem, and in the land of Benjamin, from the lowland, from the mountains, from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord." We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. So the sacrifices unto God are praise and prayer. Daily, praise. You know, I'm such a strong advocate of praising God. And, you know, I'd love to see when God's people, when we get together and we praise the Lord, it's an offering, just like our prayers. Never be ashamed to praise God. You know, I was notorious for praising Him. When I first got saved, I'd be praising God where it became annoying to people. Constantly. Praise God. Praise God. You ever see people like that? You know, it's like there's time and a place too. You know what I'm saying? But I was so much into it, they actually bought me a shirt. Craig, praise God. You know, that was my reputation of praising God. But we need to praise God. We need to praise Him with the fruit of our lips. Amen? It says in Hebrews 13, it's a sacrifice of praise, is the fruit of our lips. And so we see praise as an offering to God in cahoots or in junction with prayer daily. So it's not just us blurting something, we're asking. It's an offering that's a sweet fragrance to God. So keep that in mind next time you're in your prayer closet. Praise God. But God calls us to pray. Praise the Lord. Constantly. Prayer, prayer. You know, and it's not the length of prayer that you pray. It's not the length of it, because the Pharisees prayed long prayers. Amen? It can be the length of prayer. If God's, and I'm going to go into that in a little while. Hopefully I have time. I don't want to take too long. How long do I have? 3 hours? 4 hours? But it's not the length of prayer, but it can be the length of prayer. If God specifically calls you or puts a burden on your heart to pray for a situation, He won't let you go, the Holy Spirit. And you'll be praying and praying and praying and in that situation. And it may be hours of prayer, but you know something? It's not a formula how long to pray. Sometimes a five-minute prayer could be shoot right up to the throne of God and could be so powerful, whereas we can be praying in our own flesh and trying to make prayer happen. And we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit, by the way. In Jude chapter 20, it says praying in the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying in the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us. Praise God. God has given us a responsibility on this earth to praise Him, to pray, and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are the responsibilities we have. God needs us. I hate to say the word needs us, but uses us to fulfill His plan on this earth. Do you know that God has given us authority as the church? He's given us authority over the powers of darkness. He's given us authority over... You know, when Adam, in Genesis 1:26, he says He gave him dominion over the fish of the sea. The word dominion actually means, the word mashal means to rule or to govern. He gave Adam the jurisdiction to govern the earth, to rule like a steward. God never gave up His ownership, because He's sovereign, but He gave up the authority part, and He placed it on man, and He says, "I want you to rule, I want you to govern, I want you to organize, and I want you to look over the earth and be a steward to the earth." Praise God. And then I'm going to read quickly. I'm going to go quickly through them because I have a lot here. Psalm 8:4 is on those lines. "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Praise God. "And the son of man that you should visit him, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." Glory, the glory. Of course, God gets all the glory, but man was crowned with glory, and that meant the weight of responsibility was placed on man. Another scripture I can throw out there is Psalm 115, verse 16, where it said, "The heavens are the Lord's, the heavens of heavens, but the Lord has assigned the earth to men." Now, I'm not up here preaching dominion theology where we're going to Christianize the whole world, the governments. And there is a cultural mandate to bring Christianity into the governments, and I believe that. I do, for certain people that are called to that. But I think what he's speaking about here in the context of the New Testament is that we're to have authority in the spiritual realm over the powers of darkness. We're to exercise and realize we have a responsibility, a God-given mandate. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. To be the light and salt of this earth and to establish the kingdom of God in a dark, lost, broken world. We're here with that mandate, just like Adam was in the Garden of Eden. Praise God. We represent Jesus Christ on this earth. And I read somewhere, it was so profound. We represent. You know the word represent? You put a R-E, you put a little dash in there. Represent Jesus Christ on this earth as the body of Christ. Amen? From 1 John 3:8, he says, "The Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil." You and I have a mandate to be light and salt. I'm talking a little bit militant mentality here today. To destroy. Did you know you're called to enforce what Jesus already has done? The victory. And to be a soldier. Why? We're in a war. To destroy the works of the devil. To enforce that victory, I should say. Jesus already defeated him. But you know something interesting, and I believe this. And you may disagree, that's okay, you can be wrong. God understands, that's quite all right. No. Like, that's my wife, I'm very, very rare that I'm ever wrong. Isn't that right, sweetheart? No. But you know something, the devil, when he gave the title, when Adam gave the title deed to Satan and he fell in the garden, he gave up man's authority over the earth. Man's original, like Adam had, he gave up that authority. And the devil lost his authority in that sense, but he never lost his power. In case you haven't noticed, he is the prince and power of the world. Not to give him glory, but he has the title deed because of the sin and rebellion of man. He never gave up, and he's powerful. He's powerful. I mean, he's got the whole world duped. There is power there, okay? But his authority has been defeated because Jesus made a public spectacle of him at the cross. You need never fear the enemy, but you need to respect that we're dealing with the powers of darkness and that it's not to be taken lightly. Amen? Amen. I've been in the darkest areas in the world, in India, and I could tell you stories in the jungles and all the witchcraft and casting out demons and all kinds of wonderful things like that. And I had an experience in our church one time where a woman came in demon possessed. She fell on the floor. All I was doing was preaching like this, and she fell down and started kicking chairs over and screaming and foaming from the mouth, just like you read in the Bible. It happened right here in America in the church, and half the people ran out the church. They were terrified, and it's a startling thing. But don't ever be afraid. We're called to confront the enemy. There's a side to that, but we have authority. I don't know how much longer when I started. Maybe even another 10, 15 minutes. I don't know. We're good to go? Okay, I have some things I really want to share here. Would you please turn to 1 Timothy 2, and this is important. 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2. And again, 1 Timothy is right before 2 Timothy, in case you have a hard time. We're always teaching at the mission. We have Bible studies, and we have new people, and some people there, of course, they've been there for years, and it's like, when are you guys going to get this? You know, they open the Bible, you got to tell them page number. I say, if I have to tell you page number, you're not reading your Bibles, right? Let's wean off that page number thing, and let's know our Bibles. But anyway, 1 Timothy 2. Chapter 1, and this is Paul speaking to young Timothy, pastor. He says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Okay? Do we see that? I look at that and I see three types of prayer. Why did he could have said, he would say, first of all, I exhort that you just pray for all men. No, he breaks it down. This is very important. Now, supplication is a type of prayer, and it's asking for something. It's a common prayer, a humble request, petitioning the Lord's help, asking the Father to do something. That's supplication, okay? And that's something like in Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. It's like begging for something. It's realizing the greatness of God, and it's humbling to us. And we come before him like that. And I always like the word supplication, supply. Lord, humbly come to supply what we need. We approach the throne of grace. And I have to say, that's the form of prayer that most Christians pray. Amen? We come to the Father. We say, have mercy, humble us. And we're humble, we're broken, and we see how great God is. And that's wonderful. And we ought to be praying that way. But Paul doesn't leave it at that. He says prayers. He separates supplication and prayers. Now, prayers can mean more than just requesting something. You can be telling God how you feel about him, thanking him for something, and what he has done, what he's provided, getting close to him. Amen? Listening for him. That's prayer. That's general. That's just being engulfed in his love and just thanking him and acknowledging who he is. And that's a form of prayer. But then he separates it further, and he says intercessions. Intercessions. And that's something I think that so many of us fail to understand what that really means, to intercede. Intercessory prayer, and I look in Webster's dictionary, to intercede, it means to go or pass between. Okay, to act between parties, to reconcile those who differ or contend, to interpose, to mediate, to intercede, to get between two parties. Okay? Mediating, going between, pleading for another. It involves delegation, representation, authority, kind of like a lawyer or business associate representing a company. It's a little bit different than just asking God. It's intermediating. How many know the great intercessor is Jesus? There is one mediator between God and man, the Christ Jesus. So there's this two parties, and there's someone in between. An intermediate. You know, when people say Jesus is praying for us at the throne of God, and yeah, he's praying that we do good, and he's praying for us to have more grace, and he's praying for, he may very well be praying those things, which I think it more leans towards he's interceding between us and the Father, and he's saying, here's my son, he's coming in. Here's my son, he's been forgiven. You know, he's an intermediate, he's a mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. And many try to lift up the saints and Mary, the Virgin Mary, as an intermediate. It says there's only one in-between person between us and a holy God, and it's Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's what mediating is. It's standing between. And when we're intercessing and standing between. And so we can't produce anything, but we enforce again, and we stand between the powers of... That's why Jesus said... He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to open the prison doors to those who are bound. Set at liberty those who are captive. In other words, you're standing between the enemy, the devil, and this individual. And you're proclaiming, you're standing in between them, and you're saying, in the name of Jesus, I'm proclaiming that their eyes will be opened, that the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I'm praying against that. I'm standing in the middle. I'm standing in the gap. Could I not find a man to stand in the gap? You know what that means, Ezekiel? It says standing in the gap. It means standing where the walls have been broken down. Can I get some people? You know, they used to break the walls down in the cities and enter into the cities. And once they broke that wall, man, you were in trouble. The walled cities. You were in trouble. That wall came down. So what would they do? They would assemble the troops to stand in that gap where it's been broken and to fight. It's a militant mentality to stand and intercede. That's the difference between intercessory prayer. It's a militant warfare mindset against the powers of darkness. That's what intercession is. It's mediating between a lost world, amen, and the powers of darkness. And it's an unselfish prayer. And it's a prayer, it's a militant mindset. And these are the things we've experienced. Of course, God is the power. We have nothing to give apart from him. But we have authority to rule, just like Adam in the spiritual realm, And we can exercise. Didn't Jesus say in Luke chapter 11, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all power over the enemy? He didn't say, ask the Father. He says, I give you the authority. We just sang salvation. Lord can move the mountains. Praise God. And sometimes you've got to stand against the enemy and address the powers of darkness and say, in the name of Jesus, you're not going to have that soul anymore. You're not going to afflict that person. We're going to stand in the gap for that person, and we're going to pray and believe God. And we're going to, you know, there's just so much to that, that the Spirit of God enables us to stand, empowers us, gives it, helps us. Doesn't it say he helps us in our weaknesses? Romans 8. The Spirit of God is the one that helps us and tells us how to do this. You know, it's so powerful when you understand that there are three prayers that Paul separates that into, and one of those is intercession. And so few of us misunderstand that. We ask God to do something when God says, I give you the authority. That's like a Suffolk County police officer stopping someone on the street and saying, wait a minute, the Department of Suffolk County is telling you not to go through that red light. No, the policeman has the authority to arrest you right there on the spot. Do you know you've been given that authority over the enemy? Most people are afraid to exercise that because they don't understand. And there's nothing to be afraid about. There's times you've got to speak to the enemy to stop. Stop it in the name of Jesus. You don't have to say bind. No, we got bind. Bind is fine. You want to say bind? I say I cancel every assignment of hell over their lives in the name of Jesus. I stand between them and you, Satan. Whatever demon or whatever beast from hell, I stand against it in the name of Jesus. Amen? I don't care what age you are, old, young. You got the Spirit of God in you. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all power over the enemy. Amen? His authority has been taken away from the believer. We have authority. And you know, that's why the Bible says you're a soldier. We're at war. And you know, I'm a warfare type of guy because we're out on the streets every day and we're battling with principalities and powers and things like that. And we've learned, we don't get shout and go crazy. We just take authority. You have the same authority if you're a believer in Christ Jesus. There's times when God will assign you in a place of war, more of a militant or aggressive mindset against the enemy. There are times like that when, you know, we can weep with people and have compassion and all that, but there's got to be a time when it's just you have a righteous anger against the forces of darkness. Look around. Look around what's going on in the world. Look around what's going on in our country, the division our country. I mean, it's just been, I never saw such division and attacks on the president. You may not agree with the president, but I was raised to support the president and pray for him. Amen? Everything's so divided and twisted and perverted and everything else. The enemy's running rampant out there, and it's time the church rises up and says, that's enough. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and come together in corporate prayer and believe God can change our communities, just like he turned New York City around. I believe a church like this, we get together, and it's not just asking God all the time. God's saying, listen, I gave you the authority. Now speak life over people's lives. Preach the gospel. The power of God. You know, we're afraid. In the end, that's how the devil keeps us, hinders us. He intimidates us. We're afraid to, and I get it. I mean, it's just part of the battle. But you know something? God tells us to rise up and be what God has called us to be. You have an amazing, amazing treasure in that vessel of yours to be released. And that's not arrogant. I don't talk about arrogant, like screaming at people. I'm talking about just walking into a situation, saying, that's enough in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against those things. I cancel them out in the name of the Lord, and the light puts out the darkness. You know, we don't use the weapons. Like, it's like all these sophisticated weapons they have now in the military. If I was to go in the military, all I know is how to pull a trigger on a shotgun. I wouldn't even know how to fire these weapons. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God for the pulling down of these strongholds and these imaginations, and people are deceived all around us. And we wonder why sometimes we're so ineffectual as the church. It's because we don't realize who we are and the weapons that we have and the ability that God has given us. And all to His glory. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We can't do it, but you know something? He can work through us like living water. Out of your belly shall flow living water. So it starts with prayer and praise to God. And then God will place a burden and birth something in your heart. I remember when God first called me to India. It was like, here I am, an Italian guy from New York City, India. What do I care about India? Right? Who cares? I care, but it's like, it's the furthest thing from my mind. And all of a sudden, I was obsessed with India. And at that time, we had a prayer meeting. I put maps of India up. Pray for India. Pray for India. Pray. Well, lo and behold, that was a birthing of something that God, a season in my life, when I was supposed to do something for God. And it came through prayer, intercession. God will put something in you to pray. Specifically, it's like a birthing. It's like an impregnation, if I may. Is that a word? I don't even know. Impregnation. All right, yes. Thank you. One of our moms said yes. Okay. We never had children, my wife and I, so I'm not familiar with those terms. But yes, there's an impregnation. God puts a little something in you, a little, like an impregnation of prayer, burden. And you nurture that with the word of God, you nurture that with praise, with prayer, and lo and behold, it will come to pass. But you have to recognize that, and you have to have fellowship with the Spirit. You have to understand the Holy Spirit, and please, why do we treat the Holy Spirit less than the Father and the Son? That's another message. He is God, by the way. Amen? The Holy Spirit is God. Amen? I speak to the Holy Spirit, and you may not. That's okay. You can be wrong, like I said before. No, just joking, please. Do you want to know a secret how I pray? Not that it's right, but it probably is. No. I told you, my wife will tell you. It's very rare I'm wrong. But this is how I pray. And you pray the way you want. I mean, there's no method to prayer. Amen. But I always like to include the Holy Spirit in my prayers. You know, but he's the one that empowers us. He's the one that guides us. John 14, John 16, remember? He's a personality. He separated Paul and Silas and things he does. He is the conduit of God's power that lives in us. He's the Spirit of God, living water. And I pray something like this. I acknowledge the Father every morning, and I say, thank you, Father, for the good things you give. Thank you, Lord. Every perfect gift comes from above. They used to sing a song. Every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Thank you for giving me today, Father God. Thank you for all your goodness, your provision. And thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus. And then I'll pray to Jesus. I say, Jesus, cover me with your blood today. You took the ultimate sacrifice for my sins. You endured wicked mankind just for me today. And you're with me today, Lord Jesus. And you're my King, and you're my God, and you're my friend. And you stick with me, Lord. And you exhort. And I say, Holy Spirit, thank you for empowering me today. Thank you today for being God. Thank you today for guiding me and teaching me the words of God and just lifting me up today, Holy Spirit. Thank you for you. Fill my mind. Fill my heart today, Holy Spirit. Fill my mind that I think the thoughts of Christ. Fill my mind that I have the mind of Christ today. That's how I start my day. And God blesses me through that. But I always acknowledge, I call it a Trinity prayer. Amen? You may not agree. And again, I won't get it. Okay. I'm closing. Brother Nick, I'm closing. All right. It's difficult, but I'll try. I will. Times of protection. Can your intercession really protect somebody? Can you build walls of prayer around somebody? There's something to that surrounding thing, and I have a testimony of that. It's kind of supernatural and crazy, so I may not share that right now, but I'll share it another time if I ever get the opportunity. But an opportune time. There are two Greek words in the New Testament for time. One of them is chronos, which means just time in general, and another one is kairos. It's the opportune time. It's a specific time that God wants to do something, or it's a time of temptation. Do you remember when it says in 4:13 Luke, it says, now when the devil had ended every temptation with Jesus, he departed from him until an opportune time. That's a kairos time. It's a time of war, a time when the enemy may attack. It's a time. Luke 8:13, but one's on the rock are those who they hear, they receive the word of God with joy. This is the sower and the seeds. and they have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. A time, specific time. Now, can the Holy Spirit alert us at times to pray? Need to think about that. We need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit when to pray. Did you ever see somebody that looks exactly like someone else you know that's been going through something? Oh my God, look at that person. It's a twin of Joe. You know what that might be? You better start praying for Joe. Don't ignore those things. You know, sometimes we ignore the Holy Spirit. That's why it says have communion with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with him. 2 Corinthians 13, the end of that chapter. And may you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And in an opportune time, we went down to Louisiana one time, my wife and I, and this is an amazing story. We went down to a conference. This was years ago, maybe about 12, 15 years ago, and we got down there, and then we decided after the conference, 3 days in the conference, we had a Holy Spirit-filled, beautiful time. We decided we want to go to Burger King down in Baton Rouge. Didn't know it was in the hood, the worst part of Baton Rouge, worse than the worst area in New York City or around the whole country. It's like noted to be the worst area. What do we know? I want Burger King. I see Burger King. I'm starving, right? So, okay, let's go to Burger King, right? Remember? So we go in Burger King, and the first strange thing that happened, we had no meat on our hamburger. Now, you had to know something supernatural had to do with that. No meat on my, we opened the rolls, it just rolls, nothing, no meat. I said, oh my goodness, what could this possibly be, right? So we just like, I don't know, right? And it's crowded, and we got people from the conference, kids, and everything else is there. And so all of a sudden, lo and behold, we get up, and his masked bandit comes in with a pistol. Yeah, he comes in with this mask, this snow mask, the whole thing, and he comes up, and he's pointing a gun everywhere, and I stand up, and kids are screaming, and I stand up, and I said, what are you doing? That guy was like, I don't know, we had such peace, and we didn't even, I thought it was a game or something this guy was playing, I don't know, the youth thing, nowadays the youth in the church, they got all kinds of props and things, I thought maybe, So he comes over, and as I said, he put the gun right to my head, like this, then I realized this is not fun anymore. And I looked at him in the eye, says, and I had a piece, and I said, don't do it. And he was waving the gun at my wife. And so he's got the gun at my head, and I'm looking at him, and now all of a sudden I'm thinking, what should I do? Now, I was in pretty good shape back then. I said, if I get this guy on the ground, I'm probably going to subdue him or probably break his neck out of my, you know what I mean? I said, I'm going to get him on the ground, and I'm going to, and my life, and I'm, all these decisions, what if I miss? I'm going to come up, and he's got his gun right here to my head. And I'm saying, what if I miss? I said, oh my God. I said, is this going to hurt? You know, Lord, will this hurt or will it be quick? I don't know. And everybody's screaming, the kids, and it's crazy, right? And all I can say is like, don't do it, man. I had a peace. It was like God had us, you know? And lo and behold, it's just when I was going to about do something like John Wayne, you know, that kind of thing. I thought of movies, you know, I'll just knock the gun up. And then, what if I miss his hand and the gun starts shooting? And I don't know. So just as I was going to do that, another bandit comes from the side. I didn't know it was there. And he would have opened up, I'm sure. But this guy looks at me, and he looks through his eyes, and he, I don't know if he pulled the trigger of the gun, but the bullet fell out of the gun. The bullet fell to the ground. And he looked at me like, I could see he had a ski mask, but his eyes went wide open. And I went, praise God. He looked like that. Well, to make a long story short, I was the talk of the conference after that. The pastor had almost got shot, and his wife. And then we found out something that was interesting. Her sister lives in Maine, and at that exact moment when that was happening, she fell to her knees and began to pray for us at that moment in Maine. And then we had another pastor's wife who wasn't with us at the conference in the hotel room. She fell to her knees and started to pray against the spirit of murder. At the very moment when that happened. Now, I don't know. God is sovereign. Would I be here today if they didn't pray? Or would he have raised someone else up? I don't know that. All I know is that there are times that we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I could tell you other stories just as amazing that we don't have time for. But with that, I'm going to ask today. I'm going to sum it up. I am. Different types of prayer. First of all, we have authority as a believer. Different types of prayer. I want you to remember, what Paul said. Intercession is different. You need to ask God to help you to understand that, how to pray. That type of aggressive prayer. I'm not saying arrogant, but aggressive, that we are in a battle against the forces of darkness. We have responsibility to open prison doors for people. You're not going to do that by just crying out, God, please, please, please. God's saying there's another weapon I have for you. And I would pray today that God would, he already has equipped us, that he would enable us to understand how profound this is and how powerful this is. And I'm talking about a balance. I'm not talking about going off the deep end with spiritual warfare, where there's, you understand what I'm saying? There's a balance to everything, but there is that aspect of prayer that I think we need to understand. We have a responsibility. God has given us that mandate to govern in the spirit world, to rule, even to rule. That's not arrogant. That's not crazy. That's the truth. You have that ability if you're a believer. God wants us to have communion with the Holy Spirit, acknowledge him as God, and just be sensitive. Ask God to help you to be more sensitive to his spirit. That's important if we're going to intercede. We need to see it as praise and prayer as an offering to God, as we covered. There are seasons of prayer when God impregnates us with a burden that we need to keep praying, perseverance, okay? We want microwave Christianity when God wants to marinate. Wow, that was pretty cool, huh? God wants to marinate. We were so quick. But there are seasons of prayer. Can we pray for people to be protected? Yes. Placing walls around people of the presence of the Lord. I pray your presence around that person. I pray a wall of fire. Zechariah says, I will put a wall of fire around Jerusalem. They won't even need walls. It'll be a holy fire around them. Amen? And Satan can take advantage of us if we're not disciplined, consecrated to God, in prayer, and in the Word of God. We become easily distracted. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to give the upper hand or anything to the enemy when God deserves all the glory in my life and in your life. So let's pray. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you today for being our Father. We thank you for being our Savior, and we thank you for being the Spirit of God in us. Christ in us. Thank you for this congregation, Lord. I thank you even that you sent me here to share on prayer, Lord. And Lord, you're speaking to Church of the Nazarene right here in Patchogue to pray. Not just the one aspect, the one facet of prayer, but to learn how to pray in a more intricate way according to your Spirit, Lord. Help us, God. Help this fellowship. Father, I pray that your Spirit was imparted, Spirit of God, that you would impart that vision of expansion, Lord. No matter how old we are, if we can't get out there, Lord, that we can pray and intercede for the community, for the lost. Give us a burden for the lost souls around us, Lord. The harvest, Lord God. The harvest is white, but the laborers are few. Help us to know the principle of reaping and sowing, Lord. That we have responsibilities. Though you are sovereign, you have given us responsibilities. And Lord, I pray, God, that each and every one here would rise up to be the man and woman of God who you have called them to be, Lord. Unselfish, sacrificial, and always to give God the glory in everything we do in our lives here on earth. Thank you so much, God, for this opportunity. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.